both Mike Waltz and Pete Hegseth bear some responsibility for different things. You know, so to your point, what Mike Waltz did was the most embarrassing of all of these things. And that was, of course, accidentally someone, either he or somebody on his team, accidentally invited, you know, a reporter onto this chat group. And that was a major blunder from a PR standpoint. That's not the real root of the problem, though. The root of the problem is that the Secretary of Defense put very detailed attack plans on this unsecured platform called Signal. And we all know, you know, I think a lot of us know Signal. I use Signal for sensitive communication back and forth, particularly with people in national defense, but not things this detailed or this sensitive. If we do anything that detailed, I go on to a secure cell phone. There's an actual type of phone you can use that's got the right software. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the government, and talk to, say, the director of national intelligence or somebody like that. And so I think you're both right. I don't know. I think Charlie, and I don't know Charlie as well as you do. I know him. It sounds to me, and again, I'm just going by what I just heard Dana talk about, sounds to me like Charlie's probably going to bat for his friend Pete Hegseth. Good idea, Charlie. I think he's right to do that. I think the bottom line is what you just said, Scott. All of this, if we're not careful, is going to be made into a bigger deal than it really is. Don't get me wrong. It's not a small deal. It's got to be fixed. The president said it's fixed. They're not going to ever do it again. All of those things. That's what we need to concentrate on, is what's the method going forward? How do we handle this stuff going forward? And I think you handle it by not using your personal cell phone with an insecure platform like Signal is. And so I think everybody's right. I just think it's a matter of degree or emphasis on what side of the formula you're on.
And by the way, as always, if you have a question or comment, 701-271-1100 for Senator Kevin Cramer. We've been lucky enough to adjust the schedule, so he's back with us for a full hour every week. 9:30 to 10:30, and it is essentially a weekly town hall, which a lot more people can listen to than can pour into a coffee shop somewhere and be overtaken by people with pink hats, that are screaming, and funded by, I don't know, George Soros somewhere. So anyway, it's a good opportunity. If you have a question or comment, or you agree or disagree, you got a question on a particular thing that's happening, give us a call, 701-271-1100. So I like your analogy on the interception. After six touchdown passes. And again, the Democrats obviously are going to seize on anything, right? Because they are in the political wilderness, in the mother of all battles for relevance right now. Do you think they've scored on this?
I don't think they have scored, Scott. I think here's the difference between Republicans and Democrats. We're serious about policy. They're serious about wearing funny pink hats and screaming at people. And that's just the reality. They're more serious about the weird stuff than they are about the serious stuff. Now, that's not all Democrats. There are really good people like Jack Reed, and you know, who's on the Armed Services Committee, the ranking Democrat. Gene Shaheen, that's the second ranking Democrat. Good, solid people. But by and large, their activist crowd is just that. They're activists more than they are policy experts. Having said that, my point about the six touchdowns is what's lost. And here's the real tragedy. And I think in every conversation, and I know I do this, and I've talked, as you know, a lot about it. I've been on a lot of national TV talking about this issue. What we should never forget is that Pete Hegseth, on those very screenshots that probably embarrass him because they're out there because of a reporter outing it, demonstrate how strong he is, how specific he was, how supportive he is of the commander-in-chief's decision to do what the last commander-in-chief refused to do, and that is kill our enemies, take down their munitions, take down their installations. Our enemies mean Iran and the Houthis. American sailors and Marines have been under attack by these people for months with very little response from our military. The only response our military ever had in the firing of missiles and drones at them is to shoot down the missiles and the drones. And by the way, they would shoot down a $2,000 drone with a $2 million missile. What the president wouldn't allow them to do and wouldn't resource was killing the archer rather than just the arrows. And that's what's different. And so kudos to them for understanding who the enemy is, projecting strength, putting Iran on notice, American service members will be protected, and you'll rue the day if you continue to attack them. That's what gets lost in a bunch of this stuff, unless you want to compare it. And if you really want to compare it to the botched withdrawal of Afghanistan, which Democrats have excused every day since it happened, or Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense under Joe Biden, you know, taking 2 weeks off to have surgery and doesn't tell the commander-in-chief or his deputy, which he's obligated under law to do. And so it's early in this administration. I think they learned a very valuable lesson in all of this. Certainly the president has said that, and I expect it won't be a problem going forward.